A powerful 7.7 magnitude earthquake rocks southeast Iran with no casualties reported. The same tremor leaves at least 34 people killed and more than 200 others injured in Pakistan. Iranian president underlines that no power can tarnish the relations between nations. Twin bombing at U.S. city of Boston kills at least three people and injures over 170 others. And Syrian President Bashar al-Assad issues a fresh new general amnesty decree for crimes committed in the country before April 16, 2013. In the name of God, the compassionate, of the merciful, hello everyone and welcome to this edition of IRIN in English News with me, Niwan Chitsas. A 7.7 magnitude earthquake has rocked Iran's southeastern province of Sistan and Baluchistan near the border with Pakistan, the Iranian Seismological Center said. The epicenter of the quake, which occurred at 15:14 local time at a depth of 19 kilometers on Tuesday, was situated 95 kilometers north of the city of Sarawan. The quake, unprecedented in the past 56 years, prompted officials to declare a state of emergency in the region. Assessment and evaluation teams, as well as rescue teams from the Iranian Red Crescent Society, have been dispatched to the quake-stricken area, which is a sparsely populated rural area between the provincial cities of Sarawan and Khush. According to local officials, the earthquake has caused no casualties in the quake-stricken areas. The tremor was powerful enough to be felt as far away as New Delhi, India, where it rocked tall buildings. It was also felt in the Persian Gulf's rural states of Bahrain, Kuwait, Oman, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates. Meanwhile, at least 34 people have been killed and scores injured in southwestern Pakistan after a powerful earthquake hit Iran's southeastern province of Sistan and Baluchistan near the Pakistani border. More than 200 others were also injured after more than 1,000 mud homes in the area were damaged because of the quake. Tuesday's earthquake was felt across large parts of Pakistan, including Islamabad and the country's largest city, Karachi, where tremors prompted many to rush out of buildings in terror. The Pakistani army has been sent to the quake-hit area to help with rescue and relief operations. The Iranian president has called for unity among independent countries, saying no power can tarnish the relations between nations. President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad made a remark on Tuesday during a meeting with President of Niger's National Assembly, Hama Amudu, in Niamey. He said the enemies do not want friendly ties among brothers and are constantly involved in plotting and propaganda, but the will of the nations and governments will overcome the desire of the enemies. Later in the day, President Ahmadinejad and his Nigerian counterpart, Mahmoudu Issoufou, attended the signing of a memorandum of understanding between the two countries. During the ceremony, President Ahmadinejad warned that colonialist powers are using new propaganda and Islamophobia campaigns to hinder the development of other nations. The Iranian president also called on the independent nations to make organized international efforts to boost awareness against enemy plots targeting their culture, sovereignty, and governance. The twin bombings at the major northeastern U.S. city of Boston near the finish line of the city's annual cross-country marathon race has killed at least three people and injured over 170 others as major cities across the nation have gone on high security alert. As runners in the Boston Marathon race continued to cross the finish line, two bomb blasts about 15 seconds apart went off reportedly by a remote-controlled device, releasing orange balls of fire into the air and leaving runners off their feet, with many of the injured left with lost limbs. City authorities and medical personnel reported that the casualties included children, with one of those killed identified as an 8-year-old boy. At least 10 other children were also reported to be among the injured. Boston Police Commissioner Ed Davis said there were no suspects, but that the police were talking to some people. This is while a third bomb went off near John F. K. Library in the city, but no casualties reported. The Boston Marathon attracts an estimated 500,000 spectators and some 20,000 participants every year. The sports event has been held on Patriots Day, the third Monday of April since 1897. Meanwhile, the pro-Taliban militants in Pakistan have denied all involvement regarding the bombings. Meantime, the Iranian Foreign Ministry strongly condemned the bomb blasts at the Boston Marathon. The Foreign Ministry's spokesman said the Islamic Republic strongly condemns any measure that endangers the lives of innocent people. Rami Mehman Paras described the deadly incident as a source of sorrow and called for greater global efforts to eradicate terrorism. Mehman Paras said Tehran believes that all governments must try to maintain calm and security for everyone, adding that acts of extremism and terrorism have to be uprooted across the world and no effort should be made to justify violence. The official also criticized some politicians and governments who at points support extremist groups for their own political benefits. The Iranian oil minister says the upcoming high-profile oil show in Tehran demonstrates the failure of international sanctions against the Islamic Republic's energy sector. Rosan Wasami said in a message on Tuesday that the 18th International Oil, Gas, Refining and Petrochemical Exhibition, scheduled to kick off on Thursday, is a clear manifestation of the failure and ineffectiveness of sanctions engineered by the United States. He said the sanctions have not only failed to paralyze Iran, but also contributed to the blossoming of national domestic talents and the light of self-sufficiency campaign. The minister went on to say that Iran's oil sector will face no obstacle in playing its strategic role as the most secure source of energy supply to the world. Qasemi added that the oil show would put on exhibit the technical and industrial strength of Iran's energy sector. More than 1,000 Iranian and foreign companies are expected to attend the four-day exhibition. The chairman of Iran's Majlis National Security and Foreign Policy Committee says Syria will play a stronger role in the region after the restoration of calm and the crisis at country. Alaeddin Bujedi said resistance of the Syrian people and government against pressures exerted by the world powers will protect the country against foreigners' avarice in the future. The Iranian lawmaker reaffirmed the Islamic Republic's support for Syria and added that the Syrian government and people will proudly end the ongoing crisis in the country and will not allow the current foreign conspiracy undermine the independence and sovereignty of Syria. This is while Syrian President Bashar al-Assad has issued a new general amnesty decree for crimes committed in the country before April 16, 2013. The Syrian state news agency Sana reported that, under the decree, the death penalty of the criminals would be commuted to a life sentence. According to the president's decree, Syrians who join a terrorist organization will only have to serve a quarter of their sentences. Damascus has repeatedly called on the armed foreign-sponsored militants to lay down their weapons and engage in a dialogue with the government. Several international human rights organizations have accused the foreign-sponsored militants of committing war crimes. And here's a recap of tonight's top stories. A powerful 7.7 magnitude earthquake rocks southeast Iran with no casualties reported. The same tremor leaves at least 34 people killed and more than 200 others injured in Pakistan. Iran's president underlines that no power can tarnish the relations between nations. Twin bombings at U.S. city of Boston kill at least three people and injures over 170 others. And Syrian President Bashar al-Assad issues a fresh new general amnesty decree for crimes committed in the country before April 16, 2013. Spain's retired people have once again protested over increasing taxes and prices as well as unsuitable situation and their difficulties in nurseries. Our correspondent in Madrid has more.
The Spanish population is getting old. The 17% of Spaniards have 65 years old or more, and this percentage is growing every year. In the country with the longer life expectancy of Europe, more than 82 years on average, the crisis has put them in a difficult situation too. For years they have been helping their families in the care of children, but now, with more than a quarter of the population unemployed, their health has become vital for many families. Despite the surprise of some tourists that didn't expect this kind of protest, hundreds of elderly Spanish demonstrate today in Madrid to show their rejection for the situation, They denounce that they are losing purchasing power due to the frozen of their pensions, the increase of the prices and taxes, and the fact that now they have to pay for medicines that before were free for them. After a life taking care of their families, they insist that now they are not fighting just. After a life taking care of their families, they insist that now they are not fighting just for them. The cuts to the retired are just one more of all that the Spanish society is suffering, but they target a sector that should be respected and defended.
Escucha, los jubilados están en lucha.
A few hundred of Spanish retired and pensioners gathered today in Madrid city center to highlight that they are, after all life working for others, one of the most affected sectors by the crisis. From Madrid, Tamim El Dalati, by Persian Shabak Khabar.
Elsewhere in Europe, economists say the Cypriot economic outlook is gloomier than many previously predicted. Here's a scoop.
According to latest data, Cyprus is heading toward a new and deep round of recession. Predictions of pessimistic voices are predicting a return to growth not earlier than 2016. Lucas Romanos, Shabaka Kabar, Aten.
This is why fresh meetings were also held between the Troika of lenders and the Portuguese government on Tuesday, with many expecting more cuts to be implemented in the country.
Clocks are ticking. It's 9 o'clock in the morning in Lisbon. At any moment, the team of representatives from Troika will arrive at this airport. It is expected that this visit will result in new cuts of more than 1.3 billion euros. This is the official headquarters where some meetings between the Portuguese government and Troika take place. But what do Portuguese people know and think about what's happening inside this building? On the table are last week's decisions of stopping almost all expenses within the state worth 600 million euros and another 600 in cuts in social security, education and health. For Troika at game are the conditions of execution and measures that will ensure the implementation of 2013 budget, especially after the Constitutional Court disapproval, which caused the hole in government's accounts. This visit happens before Troika delivers the next check worth 2 billion euros.
On a letter sent last week to the IMF, the European Central Bank and European Commission by the Portuguese Prime Minister, he wrote, and I quote, "The options may include the application of a single salary scale, the convergence of labor law and pension arrangements in public and private sectors." Inês Subtil, Shabaka Kabar, Lisbon.
China has criticized the U.S. for its increasing military presence in Asia, saying the move is lightening tensions in the Asia-Pacific region. China's defense ministry spokesman said the U.S. is destabilizing the region by sending more troops, ships, and planes, and strengthening its military alliance with regional partners.
Certain efforts made to highlight the military agenda, enhance military deployment, and also strengthen alliances are not in line with the calling of the times and are not conducive to upholding peace and stability in the region. We are committed to maintaining peace and stability in the Korean Peninsula. Second, we are committed to promoting denuclearization in the peninsula. Third, we are committed to promoting the settlement of issues through dialogue.
And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition of IRI and English News. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Good morning.